Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday, January 31st Jumpcast, the only manga podcast snowed in all week. Joining me this week are Greg Jan and Robin Van Gilder.
Happy New Year. Hello.
Yep, Happy New Year a month late.
No, it's Chinese New Year tonight. Well,
oh, that's true.
It will be Chinese New Year by the time that they're listening to this.
That's actually where Mike is, and he suggested we make fun of him for it, but I feel like it just sort of speaks for itself.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, house cleaning.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff this week. So first off, if you remember, there was that manga contest that Shonen Jump had done where they opened to entrants from the United States. In Japanese, Chinese, and English were what it was. There was actually one of the finalists, I think, was from Spain. The six finalists came out, and people could vote on the three that they liked the most. And then they have the awards out now. So if you go to the website is manga award, that's with two A's, .shonenjump.com. And then for English listeners, you'll want to add /en/ at the end. It'll have links to all of the ones to read, and then some commentary from professionals and that sort of stuff. But yeah, the American entrant kind of got beaten down, got last place.
It was not very good.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was competent for what it was trying to do. It just wasn't terribly interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, for the most part, I'd say that the final results mostly agreed with what my personal opinions were. I would have swapped the top two, and I would have dropped Sweatman to last. But that's just me.
I'm surprised the Spanish one didn't win, because I figured that was going to win on the snap judgment votes the
The Spanish one was Morningstar, if I'm not mistaken.
Which one was the one I was thinking of then, with like the naked lady on front?
That's El Viento del Norte. That was actually from China.
Yeah, how could I have thought that was a Spanish one?
Yeah, no. Anyway, that was the one that won the top votes from English readers. So that one won for English, and then the overall grand prize winner, the Team Before Daybreak, won for both Japanese and Chinese readers. Which is like a vampire in World War II thing, if I'm not mistaken.
So, did they win like a Shonen Jump run? Like, do they get to actually put
the
manga
in
there?
I don't know whether there's anything in the door. They win a lot of money.
Yeah, I think they just get a bunch of money.
Yeah, it's,
And it was good.
Okay, so grand prize, so the one that got the most votes across everything, won 500,000 yen. And then the winner for each of the different territories wins 500,000 yen. So the overall winner ended up getting 1.5 million yen.
Hmm.
And then the person who did El Viento del Norte got that as well. So and both of those were from China. One of them was from China mainland, and the other one was from Taiwan. And then Morningstar, which was third place, is from Spain. Sweatman was from Taiwan, but was submitted in Japanese. Boom, which was fifth place, was from China, and Golden Rabbit, which was last place, was from the USA.
Oh yeah. That one was really bad.
It wasn't very ambitious compared to other things.
Yeah. That being said, it was for better or worse, it was one of the ones that was actually self-contained.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's
it
true.
It told the story, it finished the story, and that was that. Everything else is like all about, having hooks or hints that there might be other stuff and that sort of thing. So
I don't think people who like manga necessarily like self-contained stories.
Yeah, especially like readers of Shonen Jump.
Yeah, people who are going to vote on that sort of thing. They like, oh, this is going somewhere cool. I want to vote for it.
Yeah.
Yep, that's very true. So speaking of new stuff in Jump, I guess.
Sure.
We're into cancellation round, and now there's been a bunch of series that were on breaks, like Toriko was on for a couple weeks and stuff like that. So there's actually been a whole bunch of one-shots that we haven't really been talking about that have been airing in the past couple weeks. I haven't really bothered checking any of them out or anything like that. But it looks like that's going to stop starting next week, because we have a new series which is coming in, Illegal Rare, and that's by Hiroshi Shibashi, who's the person who had done Nura. We had talked about that series right around the time that it was starting to end when I went through most of its backlog. It was really good art wise, especially. But it was an interesting fighting thing. I have no idea about anything about this series, but I'm probably gonna check that out. given that that was one of the ones that was published in the English Weekly Shonen Jump, it wouldn't surprise me if they might pick that one up right from the start.
Any idea, like, what it's about or anything?
Not in the slightest.
All right.
Just
illegal
just
rare.
This is by the guy who did it was Nura of the Yokai Clan was the full title.
That was well drawn. I can't speak to the story, but it had nice art.
It was well done. It was kind of similar to Bleach, where it seemed like he had one idea for an arc and then didn't really know where to go with it after that. It was indeed really well drawn. And I think that, it looks like that's the only real series he's even done. And then there's no information on Illegal Rare other than it is shonen. Like, it's not a sport or anything like that, so I'm going to guess it's going to be fighting of some sort. Okay, then the week after that, we're going to be seeing I Shoujo and it's Yoshinori Takayama. The only person I could find with this is somebody who hasn't published anything since the most recent was 1988.
It's a generic-ass name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean the manga name. I mean, like, the manga name is generic.
Oh, yeah. That's, wow.
Yeah. And so I have absolutely no idea what to expect from this one. I'm not terribly optimistic, especially given that we have the return of the, guy who did Nura last, the previous week, and then the week after is Stealth Symphony. And it's by Yoichi Amano, who has done, he's doing the art, and he's done series that I've heard of. I think Cross Beat was the big one. But he's actually done a large number of series. And then it's being written by Ryogo Narita, who is the person who is behind Bakano and Durarara. So that one also greatly intrigues me. What's funny is I'm actually more interested in this one than I would be just if he was doing the entire thing, because while I loved those anime, I wasn't as when I went and looked at the light novels, I'm not as much a fan of his personal drawing style, so the fact that he's the writer with a different artist makes me more interested.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
And
I'm kind of curious what Oba and Obata are up to these days, because it's been a while since Bakuman.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
it's been about 2 years.
Yeah, we should... Looking like that ended shortly after we began, so yeah.
I know Obata, he worked on, I don't know if that was after Bakuman or before, but he worked on a Blue Dragon manga for a little while.
Oh, God.
I would and guess that was before. Well, I actually, that might have overlapped a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know at some point, like, people were saying that manga wasn't popular. I think it ran in Shonen Sunday, so at some point, like, it just became very nearly ecchi manga.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, the last one is Tokyo Wonder Boys, which from the images that were posted looks like it's going to be a soccer sports manga, if I'm not mistaken, and it's done by two newcomers, the writer of which is a former writer for the Power Rangers television show.
Huh.
So maybe a Sentai thing?
Maybe, but it looks like it's a sports thing, so...
Sentai Sports would be a cool thing to do. They should take it that direction.
That would be really interesting. But yeah, here's the splash image for the four new series, and I'm not sure which one is I Shoujo and which one is the... I'm going to guess I Shoujo is the lower right. Maybe... No, actually,
no,
try top left with the robot thing. Yeah.
Top left. Come on. Just look at the art style. Also, it's the only one with a girl.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
it's clearly not the one that says Illegal Rare or Tokyo Wonder Boys.
Yes. I think we can get... We can establish that.
Probably.
But anyway. So, with new series coming, that means that there are three series which are probably going to be getting the axe.
And let's talk about the most obvious one.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the most obvious.
I'd say it's the most obvious.
It's pretty obvious.
It's the most obvious to us because we're actually reading it. But from the rankings, I wouldn't say that it's the most obvious.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's a case of him, like, being forced to end it. I think he just, like, got bored with it.
I don't know. I feel like this is him being... Like, there were clearly grander plans for this arc.
Yeah. No, I don't know. This arc really feels rushed. And these last two chapters kind of really underscore that. So,
like, I think you can make the argument before the last week's chapter, before chapter 236, that it's not super rushed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, well, this is kind of leading up to the final fight, but I don't think it's happening yet. But now it's just definitely.
The first thing which I would say felt really rushed was skipping over the entire thing where with Furuichi, where all of them contracted with him. And then we just come back and they're all wiped out. That seems like the sort of thing he would have had fun with.
Yeah.
It's like, you could make the argument before that he was just subverting expectations, but we'll start with this one. And by the end of this chapter, it's pretty obvious that he didn't do whatever he planned to do. So where we left it last time, which is we didn't have Beelzebub last week, so we're covering two chapters this time.
Yeah.
Is that Kuneda
has just gotten into the school.
Yeah, and Kuneda's met up with Oga. And they see Satan just sort of standing outside, kind of menacingly.
Just kind of hanging out.
Yeah. Yep.
He doesn't want to come in because, you know, he'll lose his power, but, you know.
But everyone else in the school has been turned to stone because they all started to fight Satan at once.
Well, if you're going to fight Satan, ganging up on him is probably the best way to do it.
And it didn't work.
Yep.
Because he turned them all to stone.
Yes, but not one of them turned tail to run.
Yeah. So this is a fuck yeah Ishiyama sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And Kuneda shaking Oga, asking why he let Beel go.
You know, how did you think the kid would feel and that sort of stuff? And Oga's, you know, being tsundere, I don't know. He's like, don't you think he'd rather be with his real parents?
He appears to have like some sort of like crisis of conscience about being Beel's fake father.
Yeah.
So Furuichi and the second pillar...
Second in command, right?
Second in command, yeah.
Yeah, so this is me, and I would have to go back and read again, but, like, how important was she in the last Behemoth arc? Because I feel like I should know her, but I'm not really registering anything.
I know we've seen her design before, but I don't think she did anything.
Yeah, I don't think she did anything before.
I think she was guarding Hilda? As, like, Jabberwocky fought Oga?
Yeah, that could be it.
Oh, yeah, I think that was it.
That's kind of it.
Hmm.
So they start running down for Oga what happened in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
How everyone turned to stone, but everyone was willing to fight Satan. And Oga's like, well, Tojo clearly doesn't turn to stone, so where's he? And they see him standing up in front of the machine, guarding it with his body.
Yep, turned to stone.
Yep.
He's the last one.
He's still standing up, though, which is it's pretty great, the pose that he's in right there.
Yeah. This is a weird way to basically end the Tojo thing on. That, you know, well, I guess that he made a better shield than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
So then anyway, Oga is given basically kind of a cell phone.
The Deus Ex Machina?
Yeah, to allow him to bring Beelzebub back at his leisure.
Yeah, all he has to do is just talk into the phone, and then Beelzebub will come back.
Cell phone. Talking to the demon world.
That's because right now, you know, because of Satan's power, they're blocked, so they can't get through unless Oga actually wills it to be so.
And not one to be outdone, Satan sort of Deus Ex Machina's his own way in.
Well, he was saying that he had to wait for Fuji to be there in order to be able to get through.
I mean, yeah, but then Fuji's just like, that doesn't make any sense either. Fuji was there the first time.
No, it wasn't.
He said that everyone in the school was boring him. That's why he turned them to stone.
Yeah. He was there before.
Looking for Oga. Yeah, he typically mentioned looking for Oga at Ishiyama.
This whole thing has been really weird with like people just running into each other and then running away and then running into each other again.
Yeah. So,
it might be a little rushed? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Well, just kind of jumbled.
Like, so it doesn't really make any sense why he can suddenly get in, but he can.
Yeah, suddenly the barrier doesn't mean anything.
And the girl whose name I've already forgotten, the second pillar, is shooting things at Fuji and Satan, and they just kind of like brush them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then she grabs Furuichi for a contract, while Kuneda grabs Oga. And apparently there's probably a really cool Furuichi fight right here, but we don't see it.
Nope.
Well, I'm saying yet another really cool Furuichi fight, because there was the entire thing with, you know, Behemoth and all of them, too.
Yeah, and he keeps surviving all these fights, so it's probably pretty awesome.
Just imagine all of this great Age of Furuichi stuff which would happen. Man, I can't wait to see that when they stretch it out in the anime. Oh, wait.
And Kuneda screams at Oga about how he seems so weak now that he's let Beals go, and this isn't the man she fell in love with.
Yep. Whoops. And if there's any indication that it's ending, it is that right there.
So Oga grabs a cell phone and demands Beals come back. And then Beals is back, and that's it. Like, there was nothing
more than that.
And
that's the end of the chapter. Well, and Hilda and...
Ellendale.
And Kuniede gets turned to stone. I don't think you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Kuniede gets turned to stone.
Kind of important.
Well, I thought it happened next chapter, but... In the following chapter, Kuniede is turned to stone, and everyone else is standing out there, and Satan goes kind of crazy.
Yep, he's like, he sees Beelzebub and just, like, goes nuts. And the third eye opens, and he's got giant pointy teeth. And
apparently they got some history, but there's not enough time to talk about it.
I'm guessing that this is not just the two of them necessarily, but, like, the families.
I would think.
So he attacks Oga with Stone Kuneida in his arms. And Oga leaps around, leaps behind Fuji, and he, like... what's the word? He rescues Tojo and Kuneda by bringing them somewhere safe.
I seem to have missed a couple pages there or something.
Wait. Oh.
He does?
No. Yeah, like, Satan jumps up and does the... No, Satan does this, like, jumping, flying kick thing that looks enormous, and then all we see is that he comes down behind Fuji and is missing an arm.
Okay. That's Satan behind him.
Yeah.
This is all a whole bunch of close-ups. So it's kind of hard to tell who is where.
Yeah, no. So Satan attacks Oga and then loses an arm is basically what you get out of that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut back over, you know, and, you know, says Oga, or Oga says, you know, everything can be left to them.
And Oga finds his coat there for some reason?
I'm wondering if it's his or whether it's Tojo's.
Nah, I think it's Tojo's.
Why would Tojo's coat not be turned to stone as well?
He took it off when he went to fight? I don't know.
Nah, I think it's Oga's.
I don't know why that would be there, though.
I don't know.
Oga's thinking about everyone who's turned to stone.
Yeah, and I also like, you know, he's thinking about the people that he probably shouldn't even know are turned to stone that are elsewhere, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Oga says that he's going to show those guys what they want to see. And he's going to punch Fuji in the face with a Zeba blast.
Yeah, and Fuji's like, oh, you know, you tried that before. And then he realizes, wait, this is a little bit different. And then the entire building behind him explodes.
This seems contrived, because Fuji should know what Oga's capable of.
He should, but he's
studied Oga before
or something.
Like, well, he didn't see Oga with Beals before.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, like, before Oga, like, gave Beals away... Didn't he study Oga, or he knew of him, and he knew he was really strong?
Yeah, but he didn't know, like, how strong, I guess.
And to be fair, Oga wasn't exactly like this before that, either. This is power-up.
Yeah.
You pissed me off.
So Oga kind of DBZ throws Fuji around.
Yeah.
And he basically throws him through Isayama.
Yeah, and is basically like, you know, jumping off of the pieces of debris that are in the air and then hitting him in the back. And
yeah,
there's some cool fun stuff. You know, action sequences in there.
And Satan makes a cube
Some reason.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't make a cube. That's the thing that's blocking his powers, hypothetically.
Oh, is that it?
It is?
Yeah, that was the thing that Tojo was protecting.
That nondescript cube?
Yes.
Oh. Huh.
That's the machine.
This is getting a little sloppy in their Russianness.
That's why he's saying you're just going to get in a world of pain if you fight them half-assed. We have to get rid of this thing if we want to, you know.
Well, no, that's because Fuji said he was going to hold back when he fought him before.
Regardless, that's the machine. That's what it looks like. There's no other reason for that cube thing to be there.
Hilda and Ellendale decide to take Furuichi and the second-in-command with them, who, I mean, she's weirdly important for this, or weirdly unimportant for this situation.
Yeah.
She, I think, was more a, you know, like, She was a means to get Beelzebub back. That is her entire reason for existence.
I feel like anybody could have given Oga that cell phone.
Yeah, pretty much. But it had to be someone from the demon world, I guess. Yeah.
Yep, tie N back into the entire thing. You know.
Well, Hilda does that well enough by saying that...
Yeah, well, no. That's what I'm saying, is that's what they're doing here.
Yeah. So, Hilda mentions that N gave Beelz words of encouragement. And this part actually confused me, because I'd swear they were half-brothers.
We thought that. We thought that they might have different mothers or something like that, and that was when we were speculating that, you know, oh, Beelz's mom is going to be
a human
and all that sort of stuff. But no, it was never actually stated that they were half-brothers. They're brothers.
Yeah, they're brothers.
So yeah, Ed says that he'll take care of their mother and Beelz should go back to the human world and, you know, fight Satan.
So that basically kind of ties that whole thing up.
Yep.
In a weird way.
So, and then it has this entire thing like, oh, wow, you know, look at that thing that happened off screen, just like how Oga and Beelz fused before. Fuji and Satan can do that too?
Yeah, it happened like Alan Dale just pointed out and then it goes and you see them. Just,
hey, look at that.
And they mentioned that this is, you know, the war that once split hell in two is going to happen on Earth now.
So, yeah, this is the very definitely final battle going on.
Well, the caption says the final battle.
Yeah.
So yeah, Beelz is ending.
We're looking at, I think, 2-3 chapters tops at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say another 2 to finish it off, and then like a third, like, stay tuned for Tamamura's Sensei's next manga.
I'm guessing, given the ones that are going to be canceling, or getting canceled, and this one being the longest running, it'll be the one that gets the last spot.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
the last of the three to end, but... Yeah, I think, I really think that when what ended up happening was he got the news that he would be getting the axe this round when he was in America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's when he like started speeding it up a little bit, and then they started storyboarding the last stuff, and he realized, oh crap, I need to make up for, I need to really compress this.
You can tell the chapter that it happened too, because it was like when they went to LA, and just immediately they get to Solomon Company, like within pages.
There's not any fun comedy hijinks in L.A. or anything.
Yeah, it just car crash and shotgun, and I can see his parachute. He's okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was entertaining, and we enjoyed it, and this is... Let's be honest. Even for being rushed, this thing is ending damn strong.
Well, I don't know. It's not as funny as it usually is.
Yeah, but, I mean, when it was doing the giant behemoth arc and that sort of stuff and was fighting with that, that wasn't really...
Man, we're never going to get a like, resolution enough on that anymore, are we?
No, we are never going to get a resolution on the previous generation old guys.
That sucks.
Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, it's weird. I wonder why it was canceled.
It's
been doing poorly in the rankings for a very long time. It's just that there's been a lot of crap that's joined and just never been voted. Like, nobody was voting for them because they were crap right out the door. So it's been floating on this, like, there has been just enough people who are the diehard fans to keep it barely above that dross. And then, you know, I guess we've gotten recently enough somewhat decent stuff come in that it just doesn't have the support anymore.
It seemed to me like there was probably one guy that was really pulling for Beelzebub, like one of the senior editors or something.
Yeah.
Because that explains why, say... They put Beelzebub or Oga into that Shonen Jump game, but they're canceling the manga before that comes out.
Yeah.
Like, so there was probably somebody that's like, okay, this is going to be the revival of Beelzebub here. This is going to be what's going to make it big. And then, like, nope, just everyone else is voting against him. I think that was actually an arc in Bakuman, wasn't it? Like, there was one or two, or a senior editor had a pet manga they liked, but nobody else liked it.
Yeah, I seem to remember there being something along those lines.
And I guess the Beelzebub was that, but there's only so many times you can be dead last.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it didn't stick around at dead last. It would bounce back up there, but it's bottom three pretty consistently.
And I think they're kind of in panic mode now because, like, you have Kishimoto out there saying Naruto's ending soon. It's very obvious Bleach is ending soon. So they're trying to throw whatever they can at the wall to see what actually does stick.
Man, it's going to be great when Naruto ends before Bleach.
Oh,
you know it's gonna happen.
Yeah, there's a decent chance.
So speaking of Bleach, Let's start with Bleach. Oh, yeah. Bleach.
No, not speaking of Bleach. Is that? Oh, no, it is.
Yeah, Bleach is next.
Bleach, I had him out of order. That's my bad.
So it cuts back to Renji and Rukia when they were falling and discussing a game plan, of which Renji's plan was, let's kill guys, then meet somewhere, then figure out what to do.
I like Renji's plan.
Yeah, it's a pretty good plan.
Rukia points out that, like, that's probably not a good idea because they're going to be surrounded, so for some reason, at least it goes from there to once you finish a fight, rest for a while.
But yeah, they're totally like, not surrounded.
Try and disappear, and I'm assuming the idea is you're supposed to do some reconnaissance. But
I guess
Renji took that as sleep.
Take a nap.
Yeah.
So they actually are picking up when Juha Bak woke up last chapter.
Yeah.
And it's a new day. It's day two of this battle, and Ichigo's still not down there yet, apparently.
Yeah. Well, he's taking the long way, isn't he? Instead of just falling.
No,
he's taking the faster way.
He is just falling.
He's running.
He's like propelling himself down.
Yeah, he's falling but gaining momentum with each stair, I think. Something stupid.
Man, I guess that flashback with his dad or whatever must have taken longer than it seemed.
Now, I think Rukia and Renji just left when he came out, didn't he? No, they had left a couple of hours earlier.
Yeah, they had left a while ago.
But still, I mean, Renji slept for the whole night, so...
Yeah, so he should probably be here right now. And so anyway, there was a Stern Ritter that was watching Renji the entire time he was sleeping, thinking that it was a trap.
The Stern Ritter, his design, it borders...
Yeah.
Uncomfortably racist.
This. It's kind of... Yeah. It's kind of really racist.
Yeah. I don't know what to say at this point.
The teeth.
I just...
Yeah, it's the teeth.
And the hair, and just... I don't know.
Let's just not say anything about this guy. How's that sound?
Okay, fair enough. I mean, he goes away after this page, so...
Yeah, like, the implication is that the more he observes a person, the better he is able to defeat them, or something like that, which is...
Well, yeah.
You know... totally a superpower.
Yeah. But, right.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Rukia. And it's not stated whether this is yesterday or now.
Well, since it's not black background, I'm guessing it's now.
But she's... Well, I guess that's right. She was saying that she was able to find the vice captain. So, you know, yeah, those captains, not dead. They're getting healed.
Yep. Totally fine.
And that one girl who is Unohana's vice captain?
Yep.
And, like, she has no other character quality or description besides that.
She got beaten by Ichigo that one time.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, she was one of the people.
She was one of the three that got one-shotted by him without drawing his sword.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So Rukia is running around, and she's thinking, well, I can't really find anyone, so maybe I'll just go meet up with Renji. And suddenly she feels an icy hand on her. And she's like, well, who's there? That must be somebody's Ryatsu. And it's that creepy guy.
Yep, the one that took out Byakuya.
Yep.
So basically, like, the least effective Quincy.
Yeah.
He was not able to properly take out Byakuya. His name
even
is
after having
Well, to be fair, Byakuya is, like, impossible to kill, apparently.
So apparently his name is Osnote? Asnote? Something?
Asnote.
We're just going to call him Asnote.
Yeah. It's Asnote.
I don't speak German.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So he really wants to find out where Byakuya is, either because A, he didn't kill him, or B, he has his Bankai and really needs to get rid of that thing.
I guess?
Yeah.
So he figures that if he kills Rukia, then Byakuya will come running. And the dialogue here makes it seem like Rukia's saying, nah, he doesn't really care, he won't. Like, even if you kill me, he's somewhere else.
I think she's supposed to be saying, I don't think you're going to be able to kill me, but
yeah, my brother doesn't really like me that much.
Like, you totally misjudged the situation.
They were gonna kill me before, and he didn't lift a finger, I mean.
Yeah, he was going for it, he voted for it.
Yeah.
He tried to stop people that tried to save me.
Yeah.
But anyway, it becomes apparent that these guys, he, like, sent out thorns, and then they shoot out fear
also,
from
wait,
them.
She blocks one of the thorns with ice powers, which I feel is like, no, you can't just conflate snow and ice, especially when you already have an ice guy.
Well, no, she's been ice for a long time.
thought she was just no, she was just snow and cold.
No, she was always ice.
She has the exact same power as Hitsugaya.
Well, no, hers isn't a dragon.
So
I don't think we know like anything about her powers except that she like freezes everything around her when she
she has the two songs. There's the one thing that can shoot out like three blasts and then the other one that makes the giant pillar.
Yeah.
So ice does not protect her from fear. And then she has a ghast look on her face. He explains that like, oh well you have fear or have fear powers and that must make you stop and then she looks at him with the same kind of horror manga look and
like
says...
Like, possessed sort of thing.
Yeah. Because she basically Usopps her way through this.
Yeah. Perhaps fear to you is something that is not capable of fear.
Which is a dumb line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty dumb.
Really dumb. So, what do you think? She's going to steal Byakuya's Bankai from her? From him?
And then she'll have Byakuya's Bankai?
I could see it.
Yeah, that would... That'd be kind of cool, I guess.
That wouldn't make any sense whatsoever, but it'd be kind of cool. Sense?
This is Bleach. I mean, yeah.
It would be kind of cool. It would make zero sense, but it would be kind of cool.
I mean, she doesn't have her own Bankai. Or it's going to come out
that
in this.
We know of.
I mean, if Renji can... maybe she'll get one and then change it. Like everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess... I'm interested to see this fight as long as it doesn't, you know, go on forever and just be trading killing blows back and forth.
Well, I mean, it definitely isn't going to be as good as the masculine fight, but it also probably won't be as long either, so.
I don't know, I kind of like this guy, like, in terms of design.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is Kubo, so it's a pretty good design, but.
Yeah.
The power is just, like, shooting tiny little spike things.
I kind of hope they don't go back to that Renji fight ever again.
Yeah, me too. I hope he just dies off screen and we can forget that ever happened.
Just drop in, pretend it's over.
I'm just trying to imagine what Bleach would be like at this point if he got the same ultimatum that Beelzebub did where it's kinda like, alright, you have, you know,
you
15
have
chapters.
I mean, that's what we assumed
up.
Like 2 years ago and then here we are.
And remember when he took like a break for a whole month?
Break from
this
ending.
Out?
I think he went to Germany that one, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. No, I think that was an earlier break.
Remember when the Beelzebub guy got to take a trip to L.A. too?
Maybe that's how they do it, like, to make sure there won't be a scene, they just send them on vacation, then call them and be like, by the way, we're canceling your manga? You've got to wrap it up in, like, 50 chapters. Yeah.
By the way, you have to spend this whole break planning instead of having fun.
Just call them as soon as they get off the plane.
Yeah.
You've got to come right back.
I wonder if that's what the Bakemon guys are doing right now. You know, they've made some money, might as well enjoy themselves before diving right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just enjoy their break in, like, France or something. Yeah, this wasn't a bad Bleach chapter. At least half of it was pretty good.
Yeah,
half of it was just really stupid, but, you know.
That's a good ratio for Bleach.
Yeah. Much better than normal.
We're so mean.
Yep.
Well. All
right, let's move on to Nisekoi, where they're already advertising the anime like crazy.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen it yet?
I've seen screen caps. And I think I watched the opening and, like, I didn't think it was very good at all.
I've heard a lot of people really like the opening, though.
I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
I had that problem where I watch any, like, anime that I've only seen in manga so far, where, like, there's just something about it, since the art style is not exactly the same as the manga. It seems weird and fan-arty to me.
Well, and then also, like...
That you get to see everyone's hair color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and one of the... with the screen caps, Raku looks so much like Totsuki. Like, they have the exact same coloring, and anytime I see the screenshot, I'm like, oh, wait, is that from Bleach? No, wait, they have that little cross in the hair. That's Raku.
Yeah.
But now, the thing that drives me nuts now about watching anime that I've read the manga of is that it's typically so frickin' slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nisekoi is already kind of a slow manga. So. Yeah. I don't know, it seems like it would fit pretty well, because, like, the episodic nature would be fine for anime. As long as they can keep people, like, invested.
And it's, you know, based around reaction faces and stuff. So I think that comedy will translate well.
I think maybe I'll watch the first couple of episodes and at least see how it translates. But I'll wait for, like, you know, when I actually finish the backlog of things I want to watch first.
Yeah. Probably a good idea.
All right.
Anyway, in the chapter, suddenly, it's summer.
It's summer. Yeah. So we're continuing on Nisekoi time here.
Yeah.
Oh god, that did happen last year, wasn't it?
Yep.
Like, they were super late to everything?
Yeah, well, like, it's just, there's been it's stretched out a lot more now, but before it was like, always like 2 months behind.
Yeah, I think New Year was when we were in April.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
there's a fireworks celebration.
Yeah. Kosuke is talking to Haru.
Are we actually going to call her that now?
I think we kind of have to, because...
Because they made a joke about it in this chapter.
Yeah. This is actually a weirdly meta chapter of Nisekoi.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's one of my favorite things that Nisekoi does, which is poking holes in, like, its own premise.
Yeah.
Saying, like, hey, Raku, you're actually kind of a scumbag.
So they're talking about fireworks, and because no one can go, like, 5 seconds without mentioning Raku, like, the air starts getting staler and, like, you can see the sky turn white. They immediately mention Raku and how Haru is getting friendlier with him. And Kosuke is happy because this means they're becoming friends. And she doesn't realize it's because Haru actually has a girl boner for him.
Mm-hmm.
So
Haru, you know, specifically asks outright to Kosuke, you're into Raku, right? But doesn't he have a girlfriend?
So let me get... Haru... Or Kosuke doesn't know that the relationship is fake, right?
No, she does. Yeah. She knows that now.
She knows... what's his name? The Raku's friend.
I know who you're talking about, but right now his name...
Raku's best friend knows, and Miyamoto knows.
Well, Shu?
Yeah, Shu, that was it. I'm not sure when... That was something I was going to bring up. When did Shu and Miyamoto find out?
That was pretty early on, wasn't it?
What was it for them? Okay.
I feel like it was.
But yeah, no. This was something that Kosuke, if I'm not mistaken, found out. Like, it took a while to get there, but that was something that did happen. And remember there was the thing where all of them had their keys up on the roof? And the pendant was not able to work at the time and that sort of stuff. Like, there was an actual explicit conversation where... She knows, and so does Mari.
Oh, okay. Mari knows? I don't think Mari knows. Does she?
Yeah.
I think so.
So that only leaves, like, Sugumi and Haru.
Yeah, and the what's her name that was mentioned on the previous page? Paula.
Paula, like, you know, So the periphery characters don't know.
Yeah, so, like, the main primary orbiting cast all knows, but the people outside of them don't know.
It's weird they don't just tell Sugumi. Like, it's kind of cruel at some point for everybody else to know except for her.
Well, it's because they have to, like, keep the name of the manga relevant, I guess.
Well, not only that, what's it called? In Sugumi's case, like, she wouldn't say anything because that's how she is, but the families, the mafia families, are the ones that actually need to be kept in the dark, so to speak. So... Sugumi knowing, technically she's hired by the family.
That's true.
Like, there is a little bit of a conflict of interest there.
Yeah, but she's loyal to Shitoke.
Yeah, no, I agree with you entirely, but...
I don't know, at some point, like, this becomes less interesting the more people that know.
Yeah, because it's not, like, about a secret that they're trying to keep anymore. It's we're in a fake relationship. Yeah, whatever.
I mean, they're only keeping it from characters that, like... barely show up.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, so, moving on. Haru is, commenting that Kosuke is totally dodging around the point and hiding something, and...
Haru actually makes a decent point that isn't, like, she is conflicted naturally. Like, you would expect a young girl to be about the fact that her sister is, lusting after a scumbag who is lusting after her.
That is... Who already has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why he's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And also the other reasons.
Yes.
So they go to the summer festival, and Haru is still conflicted and internally lost about this whole thing, and they run into Toge. And Haru starts eternally comparing herself to her and her kimono and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually Shu, Sagumi, and Raku show up because they have to.
Yes.
And like Raku starts talking about everyone's kimonos and how nice they are. And
he gets
how,
all embarrassed about Kosuke. And
like for like 5 pages here, I could not tell the difference between Kosuke and Haru.
Yeah, they're... It look
especially when it zooms in on the face.
Yeah, like, yeah. I think Haru's hair is down to the left and Kasaki's is down to the right.
But anyway, Haru gets all mad that Raku, you know, doesn't really compliment her, you know.
He negs her.
Yeah.
He says, hey,
hardcore.
Where'd your kimono come from? Oh, neat. And it turns away. That's how an MRA acts.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know all about that?
I have studied their ways.
Oh, yeah.
So she gets all pissy and mad about this, but she doesn't really know why. So she walks off and takes Fu, who is also apparently there with her.
Yes, and Shu,
very important character Fu.
Yes. Shu, you know, starts describing the entire legendary fireworks thing where, you know, if a man and woman see it together, they'll be bound, and all of the girls, like, you know, make fun of him, but are thinking like, oh, that's so romantic. And then Shu hits on them and nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm. And so Raku calls out to Onodera and Haru's like, wait a second, you can't just keep calling her Onodera. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, wait, no, you skipped the Mari giant love seat thing.
That's because I can't tell there's seen Mari and Fu in this scene either. So Mari apparently tackles Raku, and they talk about going into the giant love seat up on the hill that she had put them there.
And talk about the birds and the bees all night long. So anyway, back as you were saying, Raku shouts out to Onodera, and Haru, you know, gets annoyed at him because she's also Onodera. It's confusing when he calls her that, so why don't you just call her by her first name?
And he does, and they get embarrassed because Japan.
And I do like Haru's commentary about they're just some idiot, like, they're a bunch of idiots.
Yep. Like, who acts like this?
Yeah.
So she pulls Fu away.
And Fu gets her first line in the series.
I think she's talked once or twice before.
Oh, has she?
Okay. Like, yeah, I think that, like, the very first introduction.
This is the most she's ever talked, though, for sure.
This is the first characterization.
Yeah.
And she says,
she likes to take
a lot
pictures,
like Tachibana,
apparently. And my speculation is that she, like, took the pictures that are in the lockets or whatever. So she knows the secret.
Seems reasonable to me.
Or she has, like, a picture of baby Raku.
Yeah.
And nobody can explain it.
So Haru is kind of all depressed and she's not sure why, and you know,
and Fu shows like the only like actual insight anyone in this manga has shown and been like, hey, you like Raku, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, oh, I was mistaken? It's like, how could I, you know, possibly like someone like him, and you know, he and my sister are also into one another, and then, you know, she starts ranting.
There's some kind of nice framing in this, too.
Yeah.
Like, when she's holding the picture up and looking at Haru. It's interesting because Nisekoi usually doesn't do good paneling.
Yeah.
It's usually just half angles and square panels. And
yeah, it's true.
And I also like how Fu is incredibly grounded and like, if this bothers you so much, why didn't you, you know... Why did you run off and not try and stop him from talking to your sister that way?
So Fu mentions that she'll always be Haru's ally until Raku falls in love with Fu.
Yeah, of course.
I think that one of the reasons I think that it's going to be Fu is that she does not fall in love with Raku.
Like immediately?
No, I mean like at all. Like she's met Raku several times and she doesn't care.
You think that she is going to be the promised girl who has the key to the locket and she's not interested in him at all?
I think that would be the best possible ending.
That would be a pretty great ending.
Like, they don't like each other. Like, we barely know each other. Why don't we... Who cares what this locket says?
That would be actually a really good ending to this series. I'm going to be disappointed if that doesn't happen now.
Yeah.
Anyway, Haru decides she's going to protect her sister from dating a sleazebag like Raku. And she stumbles upon Shu and Miyamoto. And she's like, haha, I knew it. Those two always seem like they should be together because they're the only periphery characters.
Yes.
Yeah. Always so, hanging out together in the background and stuff.
And so she thinks she's being all sneaky and going to find out something about the two of them because they're always together. But of course, they're talking about Raku.
Well, I mean, you can't talk about anything else. Otherwise, the festival would just end.
That's right.
So she hears Miyamoto say that they're fake lovers and someone's going to find this out eventually. But yeah. As we've discovered, like, several people have already found this out. So,
but it's all, you know, that one immediate circle of friends. What she means is somebody who is not close to them will find out at some point, and that's when it's all going to come breaking down.
Yeah, well, Haru found out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now she's going to go after Raku.
She's going to go reveal it to the families, and then there'll be a giant gang war, and suddenly this will become
everyone
a granny fighting manga.
Yeah, I'm curious what she does with this information.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually not sure what she does with what she's going to do with this information. I'm guessing it's going to be something along the lines of she is going to confront her sister, first off.
She doesn't know Onodera knows.
She's going to fall in love with Raku and be okay with it, because now she knows.
Now she has a chance.
Yeah, he's not actually in a relationship. Except he is totally in a relationship with several girls at the same time. But
anyway, I enjoyed this chapter. This was like Nisekoi at its best.
Plot movement.
Well,
meta commentary.
Yeah. Well, more the plot movement, the like characters acting the way you would expect them to, even within the confines of the everything has to be about Raku. it was a good chapter.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if Haru has the same disease her sister has, where her entire life has to be about Raku.
Well, it's kind of been that way
She didn't choose her high school to try and find out whoever that person was inside of the bear suit. So I think that we can, you know.
As far as we know, they could easily go retcon that.
She didn't know who it was, so there was no way she
But, I mean, she knew what the high school was, because Ornero went there. That's where the festival was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Fair point. Although, to be fair, I really think that it's more likely that she went to the high school because her sister went to that high school.
Yeah.
Which I suppose makes her decisions about Raku by proxy, but...
The Raku universe theory takes no prisoners.
Yes.
All right, then. On to One Piece.
All right.
I like
also,
the cover image.
I am supposed
it's
to...
Really good this week.
Before anybody else can get to this thing, Mike asked me to make a prediction sort of thing. Mike is predicting that Sabo will have an eye patch.
He mentioned that to me too, because Oda at one point apparently said he's saving the eye patch for someone important.
Yes, there will be one character in the series that has an eye patch.
Damn it, I wanted to say that.
Sabo. I mean, there's some decent evidence towards that in this chapter. But first, the cover image looks really nice. It's Nami the cat burglar being burgled by cats.
And they're holding up a flag that says, not thief.
And Nami is fooled by this.
Yes. They're sneaking by while holding up that flag, covering up their stuff.
I like how one of the cats is getting distracted by a mouse in overalls.
Yeah. Ah, so silly. Yep. So much better than Caribou.
Everything's better than Caribou.
So anyway, into the actual fight, and it is looking like instead of doing the tournament like it was going to be, it's now a battle royale amongst the five finalists. Like we
As it should be.
It was. Yeah. I thought it was always a battle royale.
Yeah, no, it was... Remember there was all the
captains. Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Diamante's army.
Yeah, that's right.
So we finally get a look at, sort of speak, a look at Sabo's face.
He's wearing sunglasses.
He's wearing sunglasses and a helmet and a false beard. But...
So we can see, like, part of his nose, basically. And Rebecca notes that's definitely not Luffy.
Well, I mean, he looks, like, kind of taller.
Yeah. And has a pipe.
And has a pipe, yes. And his scar is drawn on with magic marker.
Which, if you didn't need any, if you needed any more evidence that it's Sabo, it's the pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Such a great
And also, Diamante is a whole lot taller than I was expecting him to be.
Yeah, that's a good, like, 7-8 feet tall.
Yeah, he's an important dude, so he has to be super
tall.
Well,
yes, but I mean, like, and I realize that a little bit of this is perspective, but Rebecca is the height of his knee.
Yeah.
No, like, I think that's just perspective.
Some of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Bartolomeo is not that much taller than Rebecca, and he's.
Rebecca is, like, way in the background.
Yeah. There. So, some of the people from D Block are angry at Rebecca because they believe she cheated.
Which
so
she
they're running in.
Kind of did.
I mean, it's a battle royale, so.
Yeah,
she, just not, she dodged the attack, and nobody else did.
Yeah.
That's true.
So they come running in, and Diamante basically power establishments this scene.
Yeah, well, I mean, you
and
can
also
kind of see
power reveal
coming for like a couple pages. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
They're like slowly running towards him, and he's standing there.
And he hits them with his cape, which turns to steel, now even though it had just been fluttering.
It was steel
and, like,
the whole
time. Breaks their weapons, and...
So is that what it, like... He gives stuff the properties of fluttery stuff, but it's still, like, it's still metal.
Yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah, that seems to be the implication.
But he does the reverse to that, like, pan wrap.
Well, no, he takes the sword, turns it into, like, the thing. Oh, yeah, I guess he can undo it as well. So, like, he makes it into, you know, a flag cape sort of thing, and then it winds up into the shape that he wants, and then hardens, and he hits them with it.
Yeah. So he turned a hand wrap into a bullhead, then punched him in the face.
Yep.
Well, it's not a hand wrap, it's a sword.
Yeah, that's his sword.
Oh, is that his sword? I thought he was pulling a thing off his
hand. It's his glaive.
Handle there.
Yeah.
Where he says, I ate the hero no me. You can see his sword kind of turning all floppy there.
Ah, yeah. The flutter fruit, basically. But that's hard to say.
Yeah.
So he then introduces the fact that for the final battle, they have the,
like, the
king
actual,
fighting fish.
Yeah, the actual ones, not the babies.
The things that were at the bridge that the Straw Hats dealt with earlier.
Even tougher versions of them, basically.
Yeah, and they get aroused by blood. So the second they smell all that stuff, they hit the stage, and it rocks even the people on the stage from just the impact.
Yeah.
And the Marimaru no Mi is, like, on one of their backs in a locked case.
So not only will you have to defeat all of the other people, you're going to have to get the fruit itself.
Which is going to be tough for, like, Bartolomeo, because he has a devil fruit.
I mean, so does Diamante.
Well, Diamante is not exactly, like, he just needs to take out the other people.
I imagine he gets the fruit, though. Like, he's not going to, like, eat it, but he still gets it.
Yeah,
well,
that's
true. But, yeah.
So...
I'm
going
to guess
starts...
that in the middle of the fight, someone is going to end up having to eat it.
So they give Diamante his character introduction, finally, because Oda cannot resist character introductions.
Yeah, he
and
loves
So is it me, or is he Steven Tyler?
Yeah, he is. Definitely.
Like, that's intentional, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100% intentional.
He is drawn just like him.
Yeah, he has the giant mouth, and he has the long hair and everything.
The lips
Yeah.
Totally. I didn't notice it until you said it, but yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah. So the gong goes and the battle starts, and then it cuts to Luffy's group sneaking around. Sans
now I'm
Luffy.
Wondering if the other, like, seats of like the different houses are after singers or something like that, because that's the sort of stuff Oda does.
I mean, maybe he just, like, he was watching TV and there was Steven Tyler.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe
could
he doesn't want to miss a thing.
I mean, Endel
so
is
Robin,
based on
what did you think of this chapter?
So yeah, Luffy's group is sneaking in to the toy house.
And of course, one of the best running gags in the series is, like, we need to sneak in, and then Luffy just goes ahead and punches a hole in the wall.
Yeah, but they don't know it's Luffy yet, so they're just talking about the koi that's wrecking them up.
The hell is wrong with this fish?
Why is this koi? Which makes it's funny because their costumes are so terrible, but
no.
They're fooling everyone.
I love the costumes.
So Violet's like, I don't know what the hell just happened here, but let's go.
And, you know, Luffy starts taking off the costume and someone finally recognizes him.
Yeah, he left one of the people conscious.
Like, oh yeah, hey, and Violet was telling them that they definitely have to be very careful not to get noticed because otherwise they'll have to fight Pykah.
Yeah.
And they can't beat him.
So Doflamingo is in his throne room watching the Colosseum fight to keep an eye on Luffy. He's like, yeah, that appears to be Luffy.
Yeah.
Seems legit.
Yeah. It looks like Lucy.
Totally.
And it so is totally Lucy.
Someone is telling, I guess, BB5 that the person attacking Toy House is Luffy.
Yeah. And they mentioned that it's Luffy, Zoro, and Violet. What the heck happened to Kinemon? He was literally in the previous scene when they were outside. And then he's not mentioned here, and he's not in any of the pictures.
I don't know. He ran off somewhere else, I guess.
But he's on the official Straw Hats. I mean, they don't have intelligence on him.
Yeah, but
he mentioned him previously. In the entire thing where he was running down where everybody was, he mentioned him.
It could just be an oversight.
Yeah.
He knows that, I don't know.
There's only so much room in this panel.
Well, no, but it's not just this panel. We never see him for the rest of the chapter.
True. But, I mean, we don't see him for much of this arc either.
Yeah. So, anyway, Doflamingo is, very angry about not knowing what's going on because that's not Luffy in the stadium.
And he also believed the Colosseum was inescapable. So that's why Luffy could never get out.
Yeah.
So how did somebody else also get in and take his place? So meanwhile, it cuts to Saul, who's still in the lift, going into the from the factory to the royal palace.
Mm-hmm. And he is getting beaten down by Lao Chi.
Avatar Aang.
Yes.
And
old Avatar Aang.
Lao Chi punches Saul in the face, and one of the beetle dwarf.
Yeah.
Tries to attack him and just gets immediately beaten down.
And there's a thing where he puts on his glasses and then hits him, so I'm wondering if there might be that's gonna be something having to do with his power.
I think it's just an old man joke.
No, it's just an old man joke. He needs his glasses because he's confused in the first panel.
And he's so small.
Yeah. So he there's a thing there. I should punch it.
I think he just thinks it's a bug and smacks it away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he says that he was ordered to protect the house, so he just got on the lift and waited until somebody else got on. Saul says that he's definitely going to let them through, so I guess this new fight is Saul versus Lao Chi.
Yep.
I really like Lao Chi's costume, because it's not what you would expect from his design before.
Yeah, it reminds me of DBZ for some reason, or old school Dragon Ball War.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, it definitely looks like that. So anyway, they get up to the rampart, and then Pika comes out of the wall.
I mean, Luffy's group gets to the
Luffy's group.
Yeah. And, look, Kinemon is not here. They didn't give him a reaction panel. Where is he?
He's got to be somewhere else. Like, I can see the other one maybe just missing him, but this one, it seems, purposeful that he's not.
Yeah, it's really weird because Zoro is the one with the bad sense of direction. I mean, he's the one who should be gone, if anyone, but just ran off down the wrong hallway or something.
Yeah. But anyway, Pika, I'm going to guess, is a golem man or something like that is going to be my guess.
What's the same? Yeah.
If this applies, our Shonen Jump tropes apply to this, then I imagine Zoro's going to stay behind.
That would be my assumption too. Although, what's weird about that is that means that this is going to be his fight and not the Admiral.
That's fine. I don't think the Admiral is going to fight anymore this arc.
Yeah.
Well, no, he said he would protect... Oh, yeah, I guess he said he would protect the people, but if they're in here and it's all just Doflamingo's crew, maybe he doesn't care.
I had pegged Zoro to fight Diamante, but I guess that's completely unrelated people.
Yeah. Diamante is going to be Sabo.
Sabo or Rebecca or Bartolomeo.
I can see
Sabo going after Jesus Burgess, because we didn't mention it, but he looks at Jesus and notes him by name.
Yes. Well, he is, part of...
Yeah, he is
Blackbeard's
why Ace died.
That's true, and...
That's right.
Yep.
If he had not killed
Edward...
I am
genuinely, seriously expecting what's going to end up happening is at some point during that fight, because the fire fruit is, in there and that sort of thing, something's going to happen, and he is going to eat the fire fruit in the middle of the fight, and then that will be his, the armor comes off character reveal will be when he gets the fire fruit.
Yeah, I still think Rebecca's going to get it.
Yeah, I feel like Rebecca gets it, and she protects Dressrosa from then on.
Yeah. She uses her power to chase off all the remaining Doflamingo people.
Yeah, to make sure that, like, Dressrosa does not get taken over again.
Yeah.
But it could go either way. We don't really know if, I didn't know it was going to end up like this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
I really, really like Pika's design.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Giant. One piece. Yeah, they should fight more giant monsters.
Oh, I bet he ate the castle fruit. So he's a castle man.
He is the entire castle.
Yeah. It's like that orangutan in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Where its stand was the entire ship.
So we've set up a couple of fights now. We have the Colosseum fight. We have Zoro and Luffy versus Pika. Or at least one of them versus Pika.
Yeah.
And Laogi versus Saul.
It'll be Zoro and Violet versus Pika, and Violet will fall for Zoro then, and it'll cause a love triangle between them and Sanji.
That would be pretty great. And Zoro just doesn't care.
Yeah, she loves Zoro, but Sanji loves her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll probably stick around to rule the country afterwards, because she seems the more princessly type, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
The grandfather's still around. He'll rule the country.
He's
the former king. No,
he's going to die tragically.
Yeah. He's going to die in front of them. Like,
it's not a flashback. He's not going to die. He is not Ace, and it is not a flashback.
Actually, the fight I'm most excited for is Saul and Laogi. That looks cool.
Yeah. Well, that should be the funniest anyway.
Yeah.
Finding out more of what Laogi's deal is.
I think just seeing Saul fight is cool. When he's like, when he took out that elevator full of people, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Yeah. So that was One Piece.
Yep.
And I guess that's it for the week.
No Assassination Classroom and no Naruto this week.
Yeah, but next week we're full up, I think. Nothing's taking a break.
Yeah, should be. So, yeah, I just noticed another house cleaning thing that I forgot. Shokugeki no Soma had its first character poll of the top 10.
The character and food poll?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
It was separate
like
votes for the characters and for the dishes they liked most. And then they had, like, the number one character eating the number one dish and so on and so forth.
Oh.
I saw that. It was confusing because, like, I figured with this manga, boobs would be top. But, like,
she's number two.
Yeah.
And there's
I was referring
one
to the other
three.
Boobs. Well, I guess that makes sense. I saw, like, clear cleavage, and that was six.
Oh, yeah, no. Arena's the, I guess, main female antagonist rival person who was introduced right at the beginning of the series, and she's number two. Now,
yeah,
she has not played a large role in the series whatsoever, so her being there is a little weird, but whatever.
Well, I mean, it's not that weird. Now it makes sense.
Like, yeah. She shows up, like, every now and then to look at the protagonist and just hate him so much.
Yeah, and then number three is basically his assistant, so.
Yeah.
So Shokugeki no Soma may be something. I mean, it's pretty clear Beals is going to die.
Yeah.
So we may be adopting that, or World Trigger, we're not sure yet. So
I vote for Soma, but that's because that's the one that I actually read, so.
If you guys have any, like, preferences, let us know and we'll take that into account. But alright, I say we wrap it up for this week.
Alright, sounds good to me.
This has been your Friday January 31st Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thanks. You
we'll see you all next week.
Impossible, see the invisible. Bro, fight the power. Cause you're untouchable, great the unbreakable. Bro, fight the power. What you gonna do is what you wanna do. Just break the rule, then you see.
Back when I had no patience and would just read all the spoilers for everything as soon as they came out.
As you do when you're a teenager.
Yes. When you're still developing, you know.
Like, you just read Raws because you couldn't wait.
Uh-huh. Just try and figure out what's happening based on the images.
Luckily, no one does that now.
Yeah.
That would be sad.
Very sad.
So, Dragon, what's up?
Oh, at the moment, I'm actually, God help me, I'm going through, I just realized, made the connection because I was half listening, you guys were making fun of me, yeah, shut up.